Funny thing happened. Oreo thought it would be a great idea to team up with Coca-Cola, and they would create Coke Zero Oreo. So I was at the grocery store. Chef Plum is sitting in with me this week while Raven's on vacation. And Plum, I was going to check out. You know, they have those little refrigerators that are next to the checkout?
Yeah, where you get water or whatever drinks you can take. Yeah.
I ran in there to grab a Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi, whatever. And I see this and I'm like, what is this thing? And I grab it. I'm like, it's Coke Zero Oreo, a drink.
Oh.
So I immediately bought it because I was like, yep, I want to see what this is all about, right? And I'm not going to tell you what I thought of it. But I did find some reviews online, and here's what they said.
Somewhere Coca-Cola was crazy enough to think, let's make Coke Zero taste like stale chocolate and cream.
That didn't seem like a ringing endorsement there. No. Then he went on to say,
it smells like you soaked some Oreos into a Coca-Cola. That's impressive.
I mean, I want to know, what were they thinking when they thought that these two things together would be something great?
What about, like, Oreo milk? That makes sense to me. Like, you know, because we dunk Oreos in milk. It's delicious.
Yeah, I've never thought about putting my cookies in soda.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought this was going to suck, and I actually really like it. Ha, going to have to stack up on that.
Not for nothing, one of my good friends also wrote a review and posted a video online, and she loved it. Thought it was the most delicious thing in the whole world.
This is what worries me, because you wouldn't just let me taste it. You have to come up with a weird Anna Zapp way to do it.
Well, that's kind of what I do for a living, Plum.
Oh, that is weird. It's so artificial. This one is just jarring, but not all that great. But yeah, it's not the best thing in the world. I'm glad they did it because it's weird. It's not horrible, though. It's just a bit too artificial for my taste. But.
It's like the weirdest endorsement I ever heard for something, because it's like, it's not bad. It's not good. It's all right, you know?
I'm definitely in the middle on this. And by the way, that last clip you just played, was he at like the credits of a movie in the background? What the heck was that music in the background? It was crazy. It was weird.
He's a YouTuber. He's probably a lot richer than both of us put together.
Well,
okay.
All right.
All right, so now what I've done is I got one of the Coke Zeros with the Oreo,
mm-hmm.
and it's completely just how you buy it in the bottle, right?
Right.
And then in a separate cup, I made Coke Zero from our fountain out in the cafeteria. Coke Zero, and I took a bunch of Oreos, and I took a grinder, and I smashed it into the soda.
Why do you get angry when you say it?
Because I smashed it, so you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Did you wear gloves?
No. Okay, so now.
Wash your hands?
Doesn't matter. I mean, I washed this morning after I went to the bathroom. Listen, so now I have these two cups in front of you. I'm certain by one that's not lumpy and one that is lumpy that you won't be able to tell the difference. So first, taste the one on your left.
This one, the one that's on my left right here.
The one that's very lumpy.
I don't think I okay doing any of this.
Just try it.
Okay, it's got some...
Is it delicious?
It tastes like a ice cream float-ish.
Okay.
Ish.
Now try the other one.
Let me taste this one. Okay, so that one, remarkably not as lumpy.
Oh.
Which is, I mean, who knows? I don't know why that is.
Right.
Definitely tastes artificial and very bland on the mid palate.
Now, this may come as a shock to you, Plum.
Oh.
But the one that's lumpy filled with Oreo bites was the one that I created. Which do you think is better?
If I had to choose,
I'm
going to go with the one that you crushed up.
You said that one's better?
I think it's better. It tastes a little bit more like, I don't know, it just has more flavor to it, more full palate. It's all around my mouth instead of just in the front and the back.
And in 5 seconds or less, what about the real one, the Coca-Cola Zero flavored Oreo?
I'd use it to put fires out.
Oh, good. What do you do with your pumpkin now that Halloween is over? Because for me, I just throw it in the garbage, and turns out I'm not the only one that does that. Plenty of other people do that too, and they don't want you to do that. They say it's actually really bad.
It's not great. It's not great. It's just a big waste, takes up all the space, and you know, you could just let them like decompose someplace else, maybe like in the field, in the grass. I don't know.
So Chef Plum is in for Raven while Raven is on vacation, and I thought for sure, Plum, you would have thoughts on this. Here's what the experts on the TV said.
More than 2 billion pounds of pumpkins will be tossed into landfills worldwide this season. Well, the National Wildlife Federation has some just as fun ways you can recycle them.
Recycle them? All right. By doing what?
If your pumpkins are still firm and fresh, you can turn them into a pumpkin feeder for the birds. And you've got yourself a snack-o-lantern.
See what they did there?
I love this idea, though. Take the face out, you know, carve it out, put a bunch of bird seed in there, let the birds eat out of it. It's great.
I'm afraid of bears. I feel like the minute we welcome the birds, We're also welcoming the bears, but okay.
Another option is to feed the pumpkins to wildlife, like squirrels.
Or bears. Just bringing it up. Saying it, mentioning it one more time.
Last but not least, you can take the pumpkin seeds and plant them. Pumpkins are part of the squash family, and they are pretty low maintenance in the garden. Of course, you can also bake the pumpkin seeds and season them. They make for a great snack.
I would argue it's not as easy to grow pumpkins. I tried 1 year. It was really difficult. I failed at it miserably.
Well, your green thumb probably isn't as green as other people's thumbs.
That's true. I mean, I tried so hard, though, and I failed. But
did you do more than just sprinkle them in the grass?
No,
I
did what the experts told me to do. I had, like, somebody on the show to tell me, like, how far I should dig, how far I should plant, how often I should water.
You felt inspired.
Yeah, you're supposed to start doing it like an May, I think it
right.
was. It didn't work. But Plum, I thought it was interesting about the pumpkin seeds, because can you actually cook the pumpkin? Like, what do you do with the actual pumpkin if you want to eat it after?
Oh, 100%. Pumpkin is squash, so you can definitely cook it and do things with it. Now, it all depends on how long. You don't want to take a pumpkin that's already starting to, like, kind of get gross outside. But, like, if you got a pumpkin you haven't carved or something, taking the seeds out and toast them in the oven, a little olive oil and salt, that's delicious. What a great snack.
I am so embarrassed to admit that for the last 2 years, we have not carved our pumpkins.
Yeah.
It's so hard when it's during the week, Halloween, because it's like by the time you get home from work and you get the kids home
sure.
from school and you want to get them ready to go trick-or-treating, it's over. And when you do it too far in advance, it seems weird.
We fell in the same category this year. We didn't carve pumpkins, and I wish
so
we
bad.
Did. But
so I still have a full pumpkin. So if
yeah.
I haven't, so if I want to, like, take the pumpkin inside
sure.
and completely cook something with it, because it's, I guess, untainted, but I don't know. But
say untainted?
Untainted.
A bear hasn't had a bite of your pumpkin yet?
Yeah, I guess.
So take your pumpkin, uh-huh. cut the top of it off, and split it down into four pieces, right? Scoop out the seeds and everything, put it separately. So now you have these just chunks of pumpkin and the, I hate to use this term, but pumpkin flesh on the inside.
Yeah.
A little olive oil, a little salt, put in the oven at 350 for about 25 to 30 minutes. It'll start to get nice and soft, right? When it's like that, you now have all this pumpkin you can do things with. You can just scoop it out, put it into a jar, scoop it out, put it into like a container to hold on, and you can use it to, I mean, you can make pumpkin soup out of it, which is really, really simple. You could take that pumpkin and you could...
you could do this with any pumpkin, like
yeah.
the ones you find at the grocery store?
Absolutely.
Or okay. Like
absolutely.
You don't have to buy like the fancy ones that cost more?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
all right.
No. Take that same pumpkin mixture you have there, you cooked in the oven, add it to your pancake batter and make pumpkin pancakes.
Oh, that's a smart idea.
Right? It's
yeah.
delicious. And pumpkin's super healthy for you, too. So if you make a smoothie in the morning, add some of that roasted pumpkin to your smoothie.
All right. That's a lot of actually good things that you can do with the pumpkin, especially if you didn't carve them and you're lazy like I was.
Right.
But how about the candy? The kids come home with all this candy. You've got these bags of candy. Is there actually other things you can do with the candy besides just, you know, go through the wrappers, shove them in your mouth, and pretend like you didn't do it?
I got a savory recipe that's going to blow your mind.
That's coming up next. What do you do with all that leftover candy? Now it's just sitting in a bag. You've got Snickers and Hershey bars and Reese's peanut butter cups. And, you know, the kids have had their fill, and there's only so much you can give them before they start bouncing off the walls.
It's a massive bag of candy, too. My daughter came home with this king-size pillowcase full of candy.
Yeah, no, definitely. Even my little one. We went to about 12 houses, and then she couldn't walk anymore, and I refused to carry her since she's... almost 6 and 55 pounds. I'm like, if you're tired and you can't walk anymore, then we're going home. And still, she had so much candy in that bag. And Chef Plum is joining me while Raven is on vacation. So obviously, you eat the candy.
Sure.
For a lot of parents, you also eat the candy. You bring it to work. You do whatever you got to do to get rid of it. But there's other things you can do cooking-wise at home, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the easy thing to do, obviously, is, you know, start adding candy to brownies, start adding candy to cookies. But the key thing with that, I tell you, the key thing you want to do is cook the brownies halfway, take them out, add your candy, then finish them in the oven.
I have a question about this because I've tried this before. So you don't mix it in the batter.
You could, but what tends to happen is it melts too fast.
And then it burns the bottom of the brownies.
Right, right.
So, okay, so you're supposed to, if you're baking brownies, you want to add, say, like slices of Snickers or whatever.
Right.
You half bake them and then you lay them on top.
Yeah, I mean, you said you're supposed to. I don't like how that sounds. Like, you can do it any way you want, but that's how I would do it.
Well, if you want your Snickers to be burnt into a disgusting bite at the bottom, mix them into your batter. Right?
You know, another fun thing you can do with that, too, is I've mentioned before, and I think pancakes are a great vehicle for all kinds of things. You can make great, fun pancakes with candy. What are you laughing at?
You called pancakes a vehicle.
I did. My chef brain, it's a vehicle to deliver candy to you. Isn't that good?
I just imagine these little pancakes with wheels, but okay, I digress.
Of course.
Continue.
So what a great way to, you know, get rid of candy that way. Another thing you can do, too, is chocolate bark. You ever heard of chocolate bark?
it's like when we eat during Christmas time, right?
Right,
the peppermint
right.
bark. Yeah.
Exactly. So you can melt down some chocolate, add a little bit, using chocolate chips, add a little bit of shortening to it so it gets a nice and sheen, you know, like it's really bright. Pour it into a pan and then just dump a bunch of candy on top of it.
Okay.
And let it get cold and then have this beautiful bark you can do. Now, let's say you want to...
Hold on, time out. Will it last till Christmas if I wanted to like make it now and then, you know, make it as part of my cookie exchanges?
Sure. Just keep it wrapped up out of the sunlight. I think it's fine.
Right, even for Thanksgiving to serve. Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay, so now let's get a little bit crazy with this. Okay, let's say you want to make something, you know, a little bit more savory, meaning not sweet. All right. I like to make a mole sauce with my Reese cups. Now, before everybody jumps down our throat, it's not an actual mole sauce. It's a take on a mole sauce. So when I make a mole sauce, easy, quick, a fast one, I use a little bit of peanut butter, a little bit of chocolate.
Hold on. I think you're going to have to explain what a mole sauce is.
Gotcha. A mole sauce is it's traditionally a Mexican-style sauce done with dried chilies and chocolate.
Okay.
Okay? But a way you can add flavor to it quickly, and it takes, you know, cooks for hours to develop this flavor and stuff. But what I like to do with it is actually you saute up a little bit of garlic, a little bit of onions,
yeah.
And I'm going to open a chipotle, you know, little chipotle cans,
okay.
Which are those smoked jalapenos with that little sauce. I'm going to pour that sauce mm-hmm. into my pan with my onions and garlic that I'm sauteing, sprinkle a little bit of flour and some butter in there so it kind of gets nice and thick, add chicken stock, right, and mix it up so, you know, it coats the back of a spoon. And then once it does that, I'm going to add 2 or 3 chopped Reese cups to it, which kind of give it that chocolatiness, and that peanut butter kind of it fills the background of it and kind of makes it have that mole taste. It works great. And then just roast some chicken and pour it over top of it. I'm telling you, Anna, it's going to blow your mind.
All right. So if you got all those Reese's peanut butter cups and you want to get rid of them, make a mole sauce. It sounds interesting.
One more thing. Reese's cups are the go-to candy when you're cooking savory food. Let's say you're making chili at the house this weekend.
Yeah.
Right? Try adding a few Reese cups to your chili right before you serve it.
Like your beef chili?
Yep.
All right, let's do it. Let's get crazy around here. If you opened up your refrigerator or your pantry right now and you only had 3 things, what are they? During the pandemic, Chef Plum and I used to do this all the time. We would go on Instagram Live together from his house and my house. I would show him what I had in my fridge. And then while he gave me instructions over Instagram, I would cook it. And even with the littlest things, like 3 things, we would come up with these great meals.
It's not hard. I'm telling you, if you just think it through, look at what you have and be smart about it. And when I say be smart about it, don't try to reinvent the wheel. Understand what the food is. It's really not that hard. You can make anything you want. Just have some salt and olive oil. That's all I ask for.
Salt and olive oil. That's it. Omar, you're looking in your fridge and pantry. What are the 3 things
Let's
in
go.
There?
Let's go.
I have ground beef. I have jalapeno peppers. And I have pepper jack cheese.
Let's go. You know exactly where I'm going, Omar. Come on. This is super easy. You know where I'm going here. You're going to take your jalapenos. You're going to take the stem part off and cut them lengthwise, right? Now, you're going to put them in a little bit of boiling salted water for about 4 or 5 minutes, then pull them out. You're just going to kind of lightly blanch them. Next, we're going to take our ground beef. We're going to cook that off in a pan and cook it up, saute it, let it get nice and brown, season up some good salt and pepper. Then we're going to finish it off by adding about a cup of pepper jack cheese to it to about a half a cup of water. Mix it all together. It's going to kind of get nice and creamy and peppery and delicious. Hopefully you saved a little bit of that cheese on the side too, because you can take that ground beef mixture, put it inside your jalapenos, put some of that cheese on top, and put them in your oven at 500 for about 4 minutes. These are going to be the most delicious stuffed jalapenos you've ever had.
I'm so hungry. When we do this, I just get hungry.
Me too.
So hungry.
I do too, actually.
Yeah, that was good. Do you think you can handle that? You think you can make it?
Oh, yeah. The girl that's going to come over tonight is going to enjoy those too.
There you go.
He's like, yep.
Hey, it's going to be hot in that kitchen.
spicy,
hot peppers.
Got it. Charisse, give us 3 ingredients that are in your fridge or pantry right now, and Plum is going to make a meal out of it.
Okay, I have, let's see here. I have corn, and I have potatoes, and I've got cream. I think it's still good.
I think it's still good. That's the scary part. I think it's still good. This is a great dish right here you're going to make. This is super easy and going to be phenomenal. Here's what you're going to do. Now, again, with this, everybody assumes we have salt, pepper, olive oil. What I want you to do is you're going to take those potatoes. You're going to cut them nice and thin, about 1/4 inch in diameter or so, just straight down. Cut them into little discs is what I want you to do.
Yeah.
Put them in a pan, right? In a nice saute pan. You know, you're going to put them in that pan, a little bit of water, bring it to a slight boil, and then we're going to drain them out, okay? So it's kind of like par cooking the potatoes a touch. Then you're going to put them back into the same pan. You're going to pour that heavy cream in there. You're going to put a lot of black pepper, a nice pinch of salt, and you're going to put that corn. Is it corn on the cob or like frozen corn in a bag?
Frozen corn.
Perfect. Pour the frozen corn right in there to it, right on top of it, right? And let it all just kind of come to a boil and start to bubble and get gooey, and put that pan inside of an oven at 350 for about 15 to 20 minutes. When it comes out, It won't be like the heavy like liquid in the pan anymore. It's all reduced out of there. You're going to have this beautiful creamy potato corn mixture you can use as a great side dish.
Oh, that sounds good. I was hoping you were going to make a soup, though.
We could do that, too. Take that entire mixture I just made, puree it, and now you have a corn potato soup.
You just puree it,
sure.
And then it becomes a soup?
Sure.
You know, on that note, we were talking about this. There's an article that I haven't even shared with you yet, Plum, where I was going to talk to you about it later. But you know what? Let's do it now. It's the most commonly asked questions about soups.
Oh.
And I would love to see if you could be able to answer some of those questions.
I would love to. I can answer all kinds of questions. I love soup. You know, when I used to train cooks, I'd hire cooks at the hotels I've worked at. They would come in, ready to prepare this beautiful plate, beautiful meal, four courses. I would make them go in the walk-in and just make me a soup. Because making a soup shows every technique in a kitchen.
Oh, I love it. All right, that's coming up next. If you missed it, Chef Plum just declared it Soup-vember.
Soup-vember!
Soup-vember.
You didn't like it, though.
No, it was funny. It was giggly. It was very radio-esque. We love to just make things up like that. Welcome to Soup-vember!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Soup-vember.
Yeah. So we are just talking, oddly, about soups. And there's a story that was going viral this morning about what are the top questions asked about soup is blank soup. So I'm looking over this list. Maybe, you know, I've given Chef Plum zero.
Yeah, I have no idea what we're about to talk about.
No idea.
No
but
idea.
Let's start with the easy stuff. What is the difference between a soup, a stew, and a chowder?
Oh, okay. I can kind of answer that.
All right. Do it.
So I think of a soup as like a... I think of a soup as like a chicken noodle soup. It's like a... It's the texture, the consistency of it, right? Where a stew is something that cooks for a long, long time, right? Like, so maybe you're making like a... Like a beef stew. So you got to cook it long enough so those beef pieces break down and will fall apart and not be so chewy in your mouth. A chowder, I mean, this is a bit polarizing, but, you know, from a technical standpoint, a chowder has to include three things.
What?
It has to have cream, it has to have potato, and it has to have butter, I believe. There's one other thing. We'll get back to that. But it has to have those three things in order to be a chowder. Because you can make all kinds of chowders. It doesn't have to be a clam chowder. It can be any kind of chowder.
Why was that polarizing? Like, who are the people that are upset about
that? People
who
make Manhattan clam chowder are going to be like, my clam chowder doesn't have cream in it.
Oh, but I see.
Technically, okay. Then it's not a chowder, but that's a whole fight.
Okay. All right. Also, what is a bisque?
A bisque is going to be a soup that's pureed that's usually made with something like a... like shrimp shells and stuff like that. So you cook down, make your stock, and then you strain it, and then you add your stuff, and you puree it. So it's a bisque.
I've been fact-checking you the whole time based on what this article says.
How are we doing?
You've been right about everything. Okay, so...
Heck yeah.
Congratulations. The top trending soups that they're Googling recipes for are roasted butternut squash soup, and
perfect.
Acorn squash soup, and pumpkin soup.
So these soups can be cooked the exact same way. They're a piece of cake. Basically, going to roast off your squash, right, because they're all squashes. Roast them off, put them into a pan, add a little onion, a little garlic, whatever you like, pinch of cinnamon if you're into it, a little cream, a little veggie stock, and just puree it.
All right, so here these are the top five is blank soup questions, okay? So you have to answer yes or no. Is chili a soup?
I say no.
Most people say that it's a stew, okay?
I think it could, by definition, it could probably fall into the stew category.
Is Menudo a soup? I thought Menudo was the boy band that Ricky Martin was in. What is Menudo?
That's a great question. I've never heard that one. You got me there.
It says it's a traditional Mexican soup made with tripe or cow stomach.
Okay, yeah. So I have heard of this. Yeah. So in that case, it's a stew.
Do you know at my wedding, my dad insisted that during...
Where are we going? Yeah. We bring up tripe and then we go right to your wedding? I'm confused.
We had my parents are from Italy and at my wedding...
Oh, are they?
Yeah, my dad insisted... that we had to have tripe at the cocktail hour. So we had to pay all this extra money to have a tripe. Like,
how's
tripe is cow stomach. You just sauteed in a pan.
It really didn't anything with it.
You know, it's funny, like when your parents take a stand on things for your wedding, and that was the thing that he was willing to die on, was that we needed to have a tripe station for all the Italians coming.
Wow.
I don't think I saw a single person.
Can you do an impression of your dad yelling at you about tripe?
Everybody likes it, Anna. That's what they... Who's going to go to a wedding? You know what they're going to say? They're going to remember that was the wedding. There was no tripe. All right.
That was pretty good.
Is ramen a soup?
Yeah, absolutely. What's it actually called? Ramen noodle soup. That's the full name of it.
All right. Last question. It's the number one question that people have asked on Google about soup. Is cereal a soup?
Well, it is. In our world, it's like hot dog sandwich. Same thing. Like, is cereal a soup? I say yes, it is. Technically, it's breakfast soup.
12% of people think cereal is a soup, and 88% of people say, shut up, that's stupid. I'm one of the people that says, shut up, that's stupid.
We have an election coming up, and this is what we're talking about.
A lot of controversy. Now that Halloween is behind us, all eyes are on Thanksgiving and the Macy's St. Patrick's Day. Why do I keep calling it the St. Patrick's Day?
You really do.
Oh, my gosh. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Right.
And the thing is that a lot of foods and brands get their own floats, right?
It's a big deal. Everybody watches it. You think about Thanksgiving morning. What do? You wake up, you put the parade on the TV. Everybody watches it.
Yeah. So there was an announcement made about a new float that's being added. And here's a guy from the internet talking about it.
We got a new float announced today. It's for Rouse, as I say, Rouse Homemade. The float is called Pasta Night. And also, I think it's really cool. We have, well, the Pasta Night, I guess, on a noodle spaghetti horse. I don't know, but we got the spaghetti dragon.
And people are saying because it's a pasta sauce, it doesn't belong in the Thanksgiving Day parade.
I just love how you're like, here's a guy from the internet.
Here's a guy from the internet. He's all serious about it too, you know, and he's, and I don't see what the big deal is because plenty of people, I know my family, we have lasagna before we have our turkey. So
sure.
Why wouldn't a sauce be part of it? It wouldn't be part of the brand. Somebody wrote on our Facebook page, it's about time Butterball Turkey gets a float. And I said, wait a minute.
They have isn't the turkey a float?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, they have one.
It's like the float,
nope,
isn't it?
Yes. Nobody gets sad at Butterball Turkey. They're cool. They got a big gold turkey float. They're good.
Do you know who needs a float or what needs a float?
What?
Not even a brand, but just what needs a float?
Yeah.
Gravy.
Gravy
float.
One? That's a smart idea. Why doesn't gravy have a float?
It should have its own float. It should be a gravy boat that floats by.
A bunch
of people swimming in it gravy.
No, 100%.
You know?
I imagine a gravy waterfall and everybody is bathing in a pool of gravy at the bottom.
A gravy waterfall.
Isn't that amazing?
What is that? Imagine how it would feel like. It's so silky. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Jeremy wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven, pizza should have its own float.
For Thanksgiving?
Why not?
I mean, sure, but
if we're going to put it out for pasta sauce, we should open it up and be inclusive to all foods,
right?
What about
like sweet potato casserole?
Yeah, I guess that could have its own float.
Just floating around, little sweet potato floating around.
Little tiny, like little kids dressed as marshmallows going around in it. Not
you
bad.
Give it like a little face. We call it, hi, I'm Sweetie the Sweet Potato. And he kind of floats around, gets a cartoon.
I don't know. If you could think of any food that deserves it. It deserves to have its own float in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, what would it be? Betty, what do you have?
Lactaid?
What?
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to get through the holidays without it.
I kind of love it. I think you're right. Why doesn't Lactaid have its own float? We say food, but man, you can't eat the food unless you have the Lactaid.
Oh my gosh.
Holla at all your girls that got lactose issues,
no,
dairy problems.
No, none of that goes together.
How are you going to eat that turkey and all the stuff that goes along with it if you don't have some Lactaid?
None of that goes together.
You want some pie?
I mean,
you need Lactaid.
Are you getting so fired up now?
There's butter and everything.
It's delicious. Listen, at some point in your life, you have to celebrate that, even if you have allergies or whatever to it. Just eat it. It's fine. You'll be fine.
Lactaid should certainly have its own float. Lawrence, how about you? What should have its own float? What food?
Got a quick question for the chef. I'm hearing rumors that Rouse changed their recipe.
I don't know if I've heard the change of recipe, but I do know they got bought by a larger company. But, you know, I think they said actually specifically they weren't going to change the recipe.
Okay.
Hold on. I like that Lawrence was just like, wait a minute. Is this a chef? Because I need to get to the bottom of this.
No, he came in hot with that.
Like all of a sudden, like that was what you're a professional in. Like, you know what exactly, you know, is happening in the sauce industry.
I know. It's like I'm an expert.
Right. The pasta sauce, Rouse, is going to have its own float in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and people are fired up because they don't think a pasta sauce belongs on a float when you're celebrating Thanksgiving.
I mean, I think it does. It's pasta sauce. It's food. People have pasta for Thanksgiving. You have the lasagna. Come on.
What do you think? What do you think is a food that deserves to have its own float in the parade? Lawrence.
I'm just throwing in some pasta controversy. Barilla.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's a... It's a pasta that everybody uses. I understand that. That makes sense.
Yeah, imagine like all the little noodles on the float. Somebody gets to be the fettuccine, and somebody gets to be the ziti, and somebody's the rigatoni, and then, of course, the king. What do you think is the king pasta?
Ravioli. No.
Well, which one are you guys?
What did you think? You said rigatoni?
Fettuccine's my favorite.
Penne?
I mean, nice angel hair, nice...
Was it a little spring
spaghetti.
Walking around?
Yeah, like a little... what do they call it? Cavatappi? My kids love those. Mario, what other food do you think should get its own float?
Totino's Pizza Rolls.
Do they have a float? Do they have one? Hold on, let me check.
I don't think so, but they should.
They should 100% have one.
And I love the... exuberance. He said that with two. I was so excited. He said, Totino's Pizza Rolls. Let's go. Let's go.
Love pizza rolls.
Wait, it's so we did a whole special on how you can air fry them and they're supposed to be delicious with the oil.
Uh-huh.
Plum, I did it. They were disgusting.
Well, how much oil did you use?
I just a little bit. I did. I just like did a quick like blah, blah. You know, like a blah, blah.
what is a blah, blah?
A little blah, blah. Like, you know, you take the
Oh, my God. You don't even know what tools you use?
Oh
this is
God.
Crazy.
What's it called? Where it's got the things on the end.
A brush?
Yes. So I took the brush.
Do you guys see what I work with here?
I took the brush and I went blah, blah. Right on each side with the oil. And I put them in the air fryer. And everyone talked about how delicious they were going to be. Okay. This may be controversial, but I don't think that pizza rolls are good. I think they're yucky. They were yucky. Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, just, I feel like it's polarizing comments that you just said. There's a lot of stuff you could really just, you know, have the world very divided on right now.
But here's what I can tell you. They've never had a float in this.
Tostino's pizza rolls! Let's go!
Tostino's!
You just yell it. He gets fired up. He's ready.
Yeah. Zena, what do you think should get its own float?
Root beer float, obviously.
A root beer float as a float.
That's so meta of you.
Listen. It's not meta. It's real. Okay, root beer float has been around since 1893. Rouse has only been around since 1896. It's more classic.
Wow. Do you even know the date the root beer float was invented?
I am very passionate about root beer float.
Okay, I apologize. You know, what am I thinking here? So what kind of root beer are we using for this float?
It's got to be something that everybody has access to. I feel like Barks.
And this float itself, Anna, could you see it? Would this be like in a glass for you, Anna? Would it be the ingredients? What do you think?
I mean, in my mind, it's a giant mug, right? And it has ice cream on the top, I guess.
Okay. Like a scoop?
Ice cream float. Yeah. Like, I've never had a root beer.
What?
Or a root beer float.
No.
Never in my life. It's something. You want to know why?
You're allergic to it.
Well.
Blasphemy.
No, I'm actually don't think I am. But, well, the sugar. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But. Before I had the allergies. When I was a kid, you know, when you're little, you think beer is gross.
Yeah.
And I would think that roots, like roots from a tree are gross. Uh-huh. And in my mind, it was just like dirty beer, root beer. And I never tried it. And then whenever I would smell it, I didn't like the smell. And I just didn't understand putting ice cream in my soda. And I never, ever had it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, Zena, that just sounds insane to me, doesn't it? Does it sound crazy to you?
That is certifiably... You need to be hospitalized.
Yeah, I feel like this is borderline child abuse.
You're not the first person to say that, trust me.
Today.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
Mommy's Margarita Friday. Of course, it doesn't matter if a margarita is going to make you happy this weekend or maybe taking your favorite yoga class, going for a walk, playing with the kids. Whatever fills your cup.
Just celebrating an end of a week that we have completed.
Yes. What did you do this week that was super hard? You finished it, and now you're ready for your margarita. Penelope.
I quit my job.
Yeah. Unemployment.
Well, do you have another one?
I do. I have another job lined up, but it's been a wild ride at this company. I'm ready to move on.
Wait, did you quit appropriately and give notice, or did you just like, you know what, I'm done today?
No, I gave notice, but, you know, wanting to celebrate before those 2 weeks are up because I got something lined up. It's exciting.
Would have been way cooler if you just left.
No, it's not. It's not the right way to do things. I mean, don't forget, you're talking to a rule follower. Like, you give the notice, and then it's up to them if they want to keep you or not. Okay, so exciting. Where are you going next?
I'm going to a new law firm. I'm a paralegal, just... my time was done at this old firm, so excited to go to the new one.
You know, we've been talking about this with a lot of my girlfriends about everybody's changing careers, trying things new, and it seems like there's this dawn of it's time for change, we're tired of the rut.
Interesting.
Do you feel like that, or are you happy with what you do?
I enjoy what I do. The firm I'm switching to does a bit of a different area of law, so it's shaking things up a little bit. But I do like my stability at the end of the day.
Did you have your first margarita while you were at work when you left? Like an hour before time to leave, you have that margarita and you're like, later, friends.
You know, I wish I did. Next time I do this, I'll bring a flask.
Look, and a video camera because I want to see it.
Well, enjoy your margarita. Congratulations and best of luck in your new role.
Thank you.
Gina, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
So I actually had an awesome job interview, and I got the job. So I deserve a drink for sure.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Today is new job Mommy Margarita Friday.
Yeah, right?
Everybody is getting new jobs.
You were saying, I feel like people are changing careers and changing jobs. Is this a new career for you or no?
This is actually definitely a new career move for me. Actually, I was doing deliveries before, but now I'm going to be a supervisor at a gas station. So, hey, it all worked out.
Great.
Great. Good job. Congratulations to you. Hey, enjoy that margarita. It's well deserved.
Absolutely. Marilyn, what did you do this week to earn your margarita?
I completed my first lesson of Italian on Duolingo.
Nice job.
Okay. All right. Woo! All right. Accomplishments.
Give us something. Give it to us. Come on.
Un cafe.
Hey, great job. Clearly, it's just lesson one. So that's good. You got to start somewhere. You can't do lesson two until you do lesson one.
Although she covered all the important things is ordering the coffee.
Right?
Lungo?
Okay, but that's what was funny about it was I thought we would start with like counting or something like that. And the whole first lesson was just how to order coffee at a cafe.
Smart. I mean,
I love it.
Prioritize.
That's sure. What Duolingo thinks is important.
I mean, what's more, like, think about it. Language. You're going to Italy. You sit down at a cafe. Are you going to be ordering a coffee or saying the number 8? Probably ordering a coffee,
it's
right?
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
Unless you order 8 coffees, then you're just in a bad, bad position right there.
Well, teach their own.
Yeah. Well, you enjoy your margarita. If you think that your kids are going to have too much candy now that they have all that candy that they collected last night for Halloween, there's a woman that's gone viral because she is a nutritionist and telling you exactly what you should let your kids do with that candy.
Nothing better than having somebody else tell you what to do with your kids. And then also the mortal sworn enemy of chefs, a nutritionist.
Like,
come on, nutritionist on Halloween time? Stop.
Chef Plum is sitting in for Raven while he's on vacation. I didn't know that chefs and nutritionists were mortal enemies, Plum.
They know how to make things taste good. They know how to, like, whatever. Let's see what she says.
Right, because you use butter. All right, hold on. Let's see step one on what you should have done last night with that candy.
Step one, allow yourself or your kids unlimited access to their Halloween candy on Halloween night.
I mean, that sounds good. Eat all the candy you want, kids. Go ahead, wolf it down.
It's Halloween night. Of course, what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
Step two, allow another few days of unlimited candy post-Halloween. Night one is an experiment, but we really need to follow through with some consistency for our kiddos to really be able to trust that the goodies are not gone forever and their body signals can be trusted.
All right, so she's basically saying if you let them have as much as they want at the beginning, then they're not going to think, like, somebody's taking this away from me. I have to eat till I throw up.
Like they might get a little sour tummy and then want to stop eating.
Right. And then there is a step three.
Step three, now that we kick the candy off its forbidden food pedestal, it can exist alongside other foods in moderation.
I mean, it's basically like reverse psychology. It's like you let them eat as much as they want. They realize that if they eat too much, they're going to get sick. And there's really no reason to do that because mom and dad are not going to steal your candy. You can have a piece whenever you want.
But nobody ever told me as a kid what I could have as far as candy goes for Halloween. Like, when did we think this is a thing we should start doing?
The funny part about this is that neither of my girls are huge Halloween candy eaters.
I agree.
And it's so weird because they have this thing where they have to collect all this candy. But then they don't really do anything with it. It just sits in the cupboard until I throw it out in a year. Speaking of the kids, this kid made a difference, and this has been trending all over the place. His name is Isaac Regner. He's an eighth grader in New York City. And when he was looking at the school calendar, he realized that the geniuses that planned the school year had them coming into school on the Monday before Christmas, because Christmas Eve is a Tuesday, Christmas Day is a Wednesday.
Yeah, so they went on Monday, but then they had off the rest of the week, essentially.
Right, exactly. Then the following week leading up to New Year's. And he was like, why do we have to come to school on Monday? Wouldn't it just make more sense for us to have Monday off so we can have that extended holiday? Like, it's true, though. When you go into a weekend and you know you have the following week off, it feels like a bigger vacation.
No, I agree completely. It's like you have a longer weekend. It's like it's almost like you gain a couple of days. But I know that the school boards and stuff, there's a certain amount of days and hours they have to be in class.
Yeah, but he wasn't having it. So he wrote a petition to the mayor. And imagine his surprise when this phone call came.
Good afternoon, 816. I'm so sorry to interrupt, but Isaac, I have a call for you.
Who's it from?
Who's it from, Isaac? It's Mayor Eric Adams. And he's saying, all right, not only are you going to get that Monday off, so are the other 1 million kids in the school district.
How about that?
What?
Someone's a champion.
So December 23rd, you and your classmates are now going to be off.
And listen to how excited this kid is.
I'm so proud of myself for advocating all that hard work I did.
And then wait, here's the best part. Listen to his dad.
In this case, we thought this would be a chance to have him learn that you can't fight City Hall. But instead, he ended up getting a win out of it. And it's really been encouraging.
His dad's like, there's no way he's going to win. He can learn that he's just going to, you know, his whole life is going to be fighting City Hall. And he actually won.
What couple?
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. The Couples Court is powered by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Anna and Raven. Alan and Mo. Mo, let's start with you. What's the problem?
Okay, so every Sunday we go to my mother's house for dinner, and Alan doesn't want to go anymore.
Oh.
I mean, there's got to be more to it than just that. Just he doesn't want to go anymore. Why does he want to go?
Well, he says that he's sick of eating her horrible lasagna.
Uh-huh. Okay, time out. We'll stop right there. Alan, is that true?
Look, yes, it's true. Okay?
All right. The honesty's there. I appreciate that. And how long have you guys been doing this before we finally kind of came to a head here?
Only, what's it, 10 years? I mean, routine is beautiful. Family is beautiful. But I get one day to watch football. I know it might seem small to somebody else, but you uproot a man the middle of Sunday, the middle of football, to go eat bad food and be told to do chore after chore. I mean, it's very, very transactional. They clearly are using me for free labor, and the food is no good, and I missed the game.
I kind of see where he's coming from, Anna. I don't know. I mean,
can you just watch the game there? I don't understand what the problem is.
Exactly. That's what I don't understand either. And you say it's the only time of the week that you get to watch football. It's the only time of the week I get to see my parents.
I mean, could you guys do it separately? Like, you know, Mo, you go.
Exactly.
And then, you know.
Exactly. Why do I need to be there the whole time just because you're there? I love your parents. They make a terrible lasagna. It's not their fault. They're wonderful people. I love them.
But they're older, and they need help. It'll kill them if you stop coming.
Anna,
I adore you.
Is it weird, Anna, that I just want to ask more about the lasagna? Like, why is it?
I mean, he's a chef. So Chef Plum is sitting in for Raven until he gets back from vacation next Friday. Why is the lasagna so bad? And why do you want to crush your poor mother-in-law and tell her that it stinks?
Look, it's a jarred sauce. It's usually the noodles a little dry. I mean, it's not that bad. It's just I want a few hours of peace on Sunday. I got the kids, I got the wife, I got the family, and I'm very, very happy. But I just want a little bit of solitude on a Sunday. Maybe order some chicken or something. Not lasagna.
I don't know, Anna. I feel like this is, even we're done with this, Couples Court is over, this is, there's no backtracking now.
I see both sides of this because, Alan, of course you should be able to have your free time, and we all work a lot during the week, so the weekends are important and valuable, but I do see the importance of family and tradition, and if that's what you do on Sundays, and if that's the only time you're spending with your in-laws, and they really look forward to you coming, I mean, I could understand how that could be very sad for a family if you end that, especially if you have children that go and spend time with their grandparents, too. And maybe Mo wants to spend Sunday with you, too. And it's just a family thing you do together.
Yeah, but the poor guy, you can hear this like a visceral hatred brewing inside of this man for that lasagna and having to rake those leaves and take those bags out and clean the garage. It's not even his. I kind of feel for him.
What do you think? You know, should Alan just accept that this is family tradition, this is quality family time with not just your in-laws, but with your children and your wife, and keep going on Sundays? What do you do when family tradition is that every Sunday you go to your parents' house and mom makes a lasagna and the kids come and your husband comes and it's big family Sunday, right?
I mean, tradition is tradition, but if the food's bad, the food's bad.
I mean, Alan says that his mother-in-law's lasagna that she makes every Sunday is terrible. Not only does he want to tell her, he wants to stop going so he can watch football. He's tired of going there and getting his list of things to do around the house.
Chores from in-laws, it's no joke. It's a real thing.
But I definitely really understand what Mo, his wife, is saying. She says it's tradition. We bring the kids. It's the only time a week we see my parents. They're elderly. They love when we come. Why are we going to take that away from them?
Yeah, I get it. Both sides make a lot of sense to me. But listen, you got to make sure everyone's happy in the end.
I grew up every Sunday at my grandparents' house. That was my life. I didn't know anything different.
You went to your grandparents every Sunday.
Every Sunday. That was just normal. So to me, I understand. It doesn't seem so crazy what Mo is saying, what Maureen is saying. What do you think? Maria, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I think they need to find a little bit of a compromise. I definitely enjoy, I love football games on Sunday, and you work all week, and sometimes you just need a little break. But I also love my family, so I think they have to find a compromise. Like, maybe every other week he has to go, or find a balance there. Sometimes it's too much.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying every other week. I don't think he's down with every other week. I think he doesn't want to go anymore.
I'm pretty sure the other definition of marriage is compromise.
Right, but when one person doesn't want to compromise, then what?
Yeah, I guess so.
Whose side are you on? It's a couple's court. What if you want to break your family tradition? Because every Sunday, Alan and his wife, Maureen, Mo, they go to Maureen's parents' house for dinner. Here's the problem. Alan hates it.
He's over it. I mean, every Sunday gets to be a lot. Listen, if it was only every once in a while, it makes sense to me. But every Sunday? Every Sunday.
But the kids go. They spend time with their grandparents. It's the only time a week that they see Maureen's parents. And Alan says he doesn't get to watch football. And the worst part is that the lasagna his mother-in-law makes every week stinks.
And he gets a to-do list every Sunday. It's overkill.
What do you think, though? Breaking tradition, spending time with her parents who are very elderly and really love the time and cherish it. He doesn't go anymore? Chase, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. I think that, you know, they can do separate things on Sunday. He deserves a few hours to himself. Sounds like he's a good family man. He just would like to watch a football game.
Makes sense to me.
Hi, Laura. What do you think? Whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. Well, why can't they go every other weekend? Why every Sunday, the poor guy? You know, ask him to hire somebody or just go every other Sunday. Give the guy a break.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. I think he sounds so desperate for some time alone. I think that they should compromise, and she should go every other week by herself, and he should go with her every other week.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Alan, our audience agreed with you today. The truth of the matter is, Mo, is that it's his weekend, too. And if he wants that quality time on his own, you have to respect the fact that that's what he wants. And maybe a couple times a month you show up. Or that was a big thing with the callers. Like, you have to do some compromise and maybe every other week, whatever. But you can't tell your mother-in-law that her lasagna stinks. That's just not nice.
I really appreciate this support from the audience, and I love my mother-in-law more than anything in the world. I know how to cook brilliant lasagna. It doesn't have to be like this.
Or maybe just tell your mother-in-law you all of a sudden now have an allergy or something.
Just lie. That's
keep life easy.
Yes.
Keep it easy.
Exactly.
Mo, are you going to be all right with that? Are you going to be okay?
I mean, if you don't like the lasagna so much, why don't you just make it and bring it over?
I told you I'll do anything to watch this game on Sunday. So if that's what it takes, we'll go on Saturday with a pan of lasagna. I mean, I'm happy to.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com. I don't know if we necessarily solved this problem today, Plum.
I don't think this kind of problem will ever be solved. This is an ongoing marriage problem that happens to everyone.
Two hosts, multiple clues, only one right answer. It's time to play Heads Up with Anna and Raven.
Heads Up today is powered by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. Hey, Sierra. So we're going to be playing Heads Up while Raven is on vacation for these Target gift cards. When Raven gets back next Friday, the Can't Beat Raven jackpot will be $1,300.
But more importantly, a Target gift card right now.
Right.
With us.
Sierra, you're going to be going head-to-head. Well, I guess you're not against Plum.
No, we're a team.
You're a team. You're partners. How it's going to work is Plum is going to give you a bunch of clues. You have to correctly identify what he's talking about 5 and 60 seconds. If you can do that, you win the gift card. Does that sound okay?
And those clues are for either a phrase or a word.
All right. Let's do it, Plum.
So right. your category choices here are things that happen in November or football references.
things that happened in November.
All right. I love it. Are you ready? We got to get five, right, Anna?
You got to get 5 in 60 seconds. It's supposed to be 6, but you're so bad at this game.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Okay. This is so hurtful. She's not very nice to me. All right. You ready?
All right. Let me put 60 seconds on the clock.
November holiday, we eat turkey.
Thanksgiving.
Excellent. Thanksgiving morning, we watch it on TV. It's sponsored by a big department store. It's been around forever.
Parade.
You got it. This is a holiday, technically a holiday after Thanksgiving. Big shopping day of the year, lots of sales.
Black Friday.
You got it. Happens in November 5th. As a matter of fact, it's happening Tuesday.
Election day.
You got it. Another one where we set the clocks. We fall back.
Daylight savings time.
That's 5.
Maybe I made these too easy.
That's 5.
Maybe I should have made it 6. Congratulations, Sierra. Just
Boom.
Like that, you are a winner, and you've won this Target gift card.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
That was Teamwork. So easy.
Teamwork. That's what we do.
That was
number one
easy.
Draft pick.
I would like to have seen how
Let's
you
go.
Described today, All Saints Day. We didn't even have to get to that one.
We could have.
Yeah.
We could have done that one, but you know what? I'm not going to give that to you. I don't do that for free.
How about Lung Cancer Awareness Month? How are you going to go around that one?
I'd be more than happy to do that. However, I have already done my deed for the day.
See,
I don't need to do anymore now.
Well, congratulations, Sarah. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we're going to have another chance for you to play Heads Up coming up on Monday.
Teamwork.
Thanks. Have a nice weekend, guys.